Brother Dwayne's asked that we read from Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. The Almighty came down and walked among men, a wonder of wonders. He died for my sins. What a glorious time we have to celebrate here over Christmas. But let's not keep him in the manger. Let's make him Lord and King of our lives. Luke chapter 2, first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Brother Dwayne for his prayer on our behalf, as well as each of you who have prayed. Without being able to be here this morning, I'm not sure how this will coincide with Brother George's sermon. So hopefully, let's just say that the Lord is exalted this evening. For a title, we'll go with Christmas Means Hope. Don Jacobson, at the age of 24, was married, had a promising career, pretty much knew what he had to do to be a success in life. But something happened that altered that and changed his life completely. It was a cold winter night, and he was out duck hunting when something malfunctioned in his gun, and he accidentally shot himself with a 12-gauge shotgun. He lay over 9 hours, nearly bled to death before someone found him. 9 days in the hospital, fretting over how he would provide for his family. In fact, after the accident or in the days there of following, his wife was told that if he lived, he would never walk again. But God had other plans. And Don fully recovered and walks. And instead of the construction business which he was in, and the he entered into a new vocation and got into the publishing business, and realizes now that God had a plan where he no longer was to work with his hands, but with his head and with his heart. And in that publishing business, Don Jacobson has written at least one book, and you may be familiar with this book. The name of the book is When God Makes Lemonade. And the idea of the book is that when sour circumstances or happenings occur in our life, that God takes and makes sweetness out of them. And he compiled put together true stories from other people and of hope, how God brings about hope in those kind of situations, and that's in that book, When God Makes Lemonade. And he says, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me here, but some of you are probably familiar with this chicken soup books. I think, no, exactly, but a lot, they have the same idea of stories that bring hope. And he said of all the millions that are copies of there, were evident that people are thirsting for hope. And so in making this, writing his book, and the idea was to bring or provide hope, because he thought with a little encouragement, people can do a lot with a little encouragement and a little hope. A life without hope is a life that is dying. Everyone needs hope. And Christmas is a message of hope. As we read the stories within the Christmas story here in Luke 1 and 2, and we didn't take time to read all those, both chapters completely. But as we read those chapters, if you were to sit down and read the complete chapters, but as you see the stories within the story, there's a common thread that connects the individuals, and that the fact that the baby, Jesus, being born, brought hope. Hope. From Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she would conceive and bring forth a son in chapter 1 and verses 31 to 33. To Mary's offering of praise to God in chapter 1 verses 46 to 55, we find hope. In the announcement of chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11 of a Savior being born, that the angel spoke to the shepherds in the fields that night, and in the words of the heavenly host praising God in verse 14, we hear hope. And in the shepherd's response in verses 17 to 20, after seeing the baby Jesus, we sense hope as they lead praising and glorifying God and telling others. And as Simeon takes the child Jesus up in his arms and blesses God, he speaks words of hope in verses 29 to 32 in chapter 2. And I'll read those later, so I'm not going to read them now. Even as Anna, a prophetess in the temple, in verse 38 of chapter 2, says, and she coming in that instance, again, when Jesus was brought to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. And Anna, she coming to that, in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem, implying that she was amongst those that were looking for redemption, and implying there was a desire for hope, a hope, and that this child, Jesus, would fulfill their hope. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle, and in opening the book there, he says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The message, Christmas, is one of hope. You know that statement, that the message of Christmas is one of hope? It's true. But what is meant by that word hope? See, we need to determine that, because definitions are different. One definition for hope is to want something to happen or be the case. Dictionary.com says hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. You see, that kind of hope might happen, but it might not happen. I can say I hope for a blizzard this winter. That would be a true statement. I'll take one. If the Lord sees fit to send it, but it doesn't mean we'll get a blizzard, does it? If I say to you, I hope you have a good day tomorrow, Steve. There's no guarantee there that you will. By that definition. This kind of hope is wishing, or is a wishing for what I think is best. But it's simply a mere human hope. It's a hope so, not a no-so. This is not the kind of hope that a Christian has, and the Christian hope is not a waiting around to see if everything will just turn out okay. You know, I'm hoping it will, and so I'm just waiting around to see if it'll come out all right. Rather, the biblical definition of hope, as seen in the words translated hope in the New Testament, is to expect with confidence. It speaks of a certainty. It's a no-so that is based on the facts, the truth of God's word, and the character of God himself. Therefore, Paul says, or when 1 Timothy 1:1 says, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, the message of Christmas. That means the message of Christmas is one of hope, because the babe of Christmas is Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Meaning that as our Savior, we have a confidence in him, a no-so, that our sins are forgiven. It's not a hope-so, and we'll wait around, and I hope by the time that I get to the end of life that they're going to be forgiven. It's a no-so based on the authority of God's word. We have a confident expectation, a no-so, that all his promises to us, he'll keep them. All he says he'll do for us, he'll do. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll intercede on our behalf before the Father, and who doesn't need that? We can cast all our cares upon him because he truly does care. All this, we're not just wishing it were true. We're not just feeling good about it, but based on the authority of God's word and the meaning of hope in God's word and the fact that his word is true, that he cannot lie, we know it is true. It's a confident expectation, the believer's hope. That is the hope of Christmas. And he being our hope, meaning Jesus Christ, he is a sure anchor to our souls and our lives. Well, let's consider some hopes of Christmas. And certainly this would not be an all-inclusive list. But the first hope of Christmas is that Jesus, as already said, is our hope and our sins can be forgiven. So let's go to the second, because I already talked about that one. The second hope of Christmas is that a believer's hope knows God keeps his promises. Mary demonstrated this hope by believing God would do what the angel had said. In chapter 1, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, notice what Elizabeth says about Mary in verse 45. Elizabeth speaking about Mary, she says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And basically, Elizabeth is saying, Mary, you are blessed for believing that God will accomplish what he said he would do. Knowing that God would keep his promises. The message of Christmas is one of hope. It is to believe, to expect with confidence, a no-so, that God can be relied upon to accomplish what he said he will. It's a knowing that God keeps his promises. Now, I know we like the promises of God, and we know a lot of them, but sometimes I wonder if we faint a little bit at really believing that he's going to keep them. But the Christmas hope, The believer's hope is to expect with confidence. It's a no-so that God keeps his promises. David Aikman holds a PhD in Russian and Chinese history. He worked for over 20 years as a respected journalist for Time magazine, and a few years ago, he took some time off and he wrote a book titled Hope, The Heart's Great Quest. And through extensive study and interaction with people, he came to the conclusion that every human heart yearns for hope, even if he or she doesn't know what hope is. And he wrote this, and I quote, "Hope is the distinguishing feature of Christianity compared to any other belief system. It is far more evident in Christianity than in any other religion or philosophy," end quote. And I had to think, because I don't know this man, I don't know what he professes, if he professes, but I wonder if David Aikman knows that our God, the true and only God, is, as Romans 15:13 says, he's the God of hope. So no wonder that Christianity would be permeated with such a great truth, and there would be hope in Christianity. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound." It speaks of an abundance, an excess, abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The message of Christmas is one of hope because our God is a God of hope. He wants us to be overflowing and have an abundance of confidence in him, an abundance of no-so, not just a wishing so. That we may abound in hope. Well, a third hope of Christmas is really a continuation of the second one. But a believer's hope knows that God will keep his promises. Now, that was the second one, but this one is a believer's hope knows that God will keep his promises in ways that are beyond one's understanding. It's understanding that there will be times that he's going to keep his promises, but he's going to do so in ways that I don't understand and I don't expect, because he's above our ways. The miraculous birth of the Christ child through Mary is God at work beyond our understanding. We believe it, but there's not one of us that can understand it completely. The virgin birth and what took place and all the intricate parts of the fullness of time, the precise timing. God at work beyond our understanding. I don't think any of us are used to an angel talking directly to us and knowing it. We might have had it happen, but we don't know it. Nor is it common for us to witness a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God as the shepherds did. The working of God in Simeon's life is beyond all our understanding. A devout, just man that was waiting and believing that God would allow him to see the Christ child before he would die. And God timed it perfectly and had him at the right place and directed him to go to the temple to see the Christ child. The keeping of his promises goes beyond our understanding. The Christian message is one of hope, a confident expecting, a no-so that sins can be forgiven. God fulfills his promises, and at times he does so in ways that I won't understand. They're beyond my understanding and beyond my expectation. When we in our thinking doubt things can happen, or wonder if God's not working, or think our resources are all exhausted, remember that God doesn't wear handcuffs. A fourth hope of Christmas is a believer's hope. Trust God in spite of all the problems one has or is facing. You know, the world was not without problems when Christ came. The Jews were under the rule of the Romans. People's lives had problems just like our lives do today. Well, maybe different types of problems. They certainly didn't have technology like we do. They didn't have to deal with computers crashing. And all that kind of good stuff. But they had problems like we do in their lives. Mary and Joseph's circumstances could have been misunderstood by others. But it didn't deter them from trusting God. No doubt the shepherds faced hardships, yet they believed the Lord's message and went to see the babe lying in a manger. And Simeon, living in Jerusalem, the Jews' homeland, yet here was part of the Roman Empire, a place where the Jews experienced the oppression of the Romans. And still he waited, trusting God to keep his word, believing that he would see the Messiah before he would die. Let's go to that part. I want to read a few verses there in Luke chapter 2 concerning Simeon. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord, as I said a little bit ago, Simeon was guided by the Spirit to go at the same time to be there. In verse 27, it says, "And he, speaking of Simeon, came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." According to thy word. In spite of all that was transpiring around him, in spite of all the time that he waited to see the Christ child, he trusted according to what he had been told by God. According to your word. God gave Simeon a special understanding concerning the Christ child. As he goes on to say in verses 30, the 31, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." He must have knew something about the prophecies of Isaiah. That this Christ child was not just for the Jew, but was for all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 33 says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Simeon then went on to prophesy to Mary concerning herself and the child's future in verses 33 to 35. "And Joseph and his mother," I'm sorry, let me start at 34. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simon believed and trusted God in spite of all the problems around him, and God used him to reveal the presence of God to mankind. The message of Christmas is one of hope. Oh, not a, "I hope you have a good day, and maybe you will and you won't." Not, "I hope something happens, and maybe it will or it won't." But it's a confident expectation, the believer's hope, a confident expectation that God will be God in spite of any problem around us or that we face. Throughout the story of Christmas is the message of Christmas. It's a message of hope, a hope that knows, a confident expectation, a no-so. Jesus himself is our hope, and our sins are forgiven as believers. A hope that knows God keeps his promises and knows that sometimes he will fulfill those promises in ways that I don't understand and beyond my understanding and beyond my expectation. And he's at work when I don't expect him to be. And when I think he might not be, he's working to fulfill those promises. A hope that trusts God in spite of problems. This believer's hope is a hope that has a purifying effect on one's life. 1 John 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Has an effect on us, a purifying effect. It means it should, it's to affect how I live. I can't get it together, but Brother Dwayne mentioned in his prayer, and he was saying about how we talk or think and act, and that we would honor Christ is what he was saying in his prayer. And it struck me because I knew I was thinking along this line. This hope, the believer's hope, is to purify us, affect the people that we are. It's a hope that also looks to the future. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope. It's the same Greek word we've been talking about. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Edward Mote was born into poverty on January 21st, 1797 in London. His parents, innkeepers, wouldn't allow a Bible in their house. But somehow Edward heard the gospel as a teenager and he came to Christ. He eventually became a skilled carpenter and the owner of his own cabinet shop. One morning, he recalled, "It came into my mind as I went to labor to write a hymn on the gracious experience of a Christian. As I went up to Holborn, I had the course, 'On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.' In the day, I had four first verses complete and wrote them off. In 1852, Edward, 55, gave up his carpentry to pastor the Baptist Church in Horsham, Sussex, where he ministered 21 years. He resigned in 1873 in failing health, saying, 'I think I am going to heaven. Yes, I am nearing port. The truths I've been preaching, I am now living upon, and they'll do very well to die upon.'" That's a confident expectation, a believer's hope, a no-so, not a wishing. Today is him, the solid rock, is still popular with Christians around the world. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Everyone needs hope, but the best hope is a believer's hope.
Let's stand together for prayer.